Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Bible Study with Carl, and this is Raven today. I'm filling in for Carl. If you were on last week, you probably heard that that was going to happen, or if you listened to last week's program. But, Carl's out of town today, and I'm filling in. I hope you enjoy the program. As I said, this is Raven. I'm usually on with him, so you're used to hearing me. We're going to talk today about a topic that is actually something which I'm going to be going into on Wednesdays, but this one is a little more, this week we're going to be getting a little bit more specific. So I'm just going to be touching on an area of this topic, and this is on spiritual warfare, sort of. We're going to be talking today about what's happening with our children, things that are touching our children in the way of demonic activity, and what we can do about it, how we should be reacting. And we're going to touch on it just a bit, because really an hour and a half is not that much, right? And if you want to hear more about that kind of thing, then you can listen in on Wednesday evenings. If you're not listening to my program already on Wednesdays, it's from 7 to 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Or let's see, you go back, I think it's 3 hours for California, right? So let's get started. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you really bless me with your words today, Lord. Have the Holy Spirit just fill me with every word that you want me to say today, Lord, because as we know, Satan wants to just fight against this, right? He doesn't want the world to know just how much everyone is trying to get into our children, to get them from an early age. And we know how important it is for us to fight against this. So, Lord, I ask that you give me anything that I have missed that you want me to give people that are listening, that you want for me, for my grandchildren, and even for my children who are older and grown. In Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. And this is true, Lord. As grandparents, we need to be able to speak in truth but kindly to our grown children. Some of them may not be Christians, but they may have an understanding of right and wrong still, right? They may not be Christians, but they may be more conservative and at least not want certain things to our grandchildren, right? They still may understand that they may not be born-again Christians, but they may understand that certain things just are wrong. So let's just get started here, and I'm going to go first to, let me get this page open because I, okay. There are a lot of things out there that we just assume, right? We just assume are okay for our kids because we aren't aware of how Satan is sneaking in, how he's sneaking in, you know, and he's sneaking in even to our adult shows and things, right? But I'm not going to get into that one today. I'm not going to get into the adult programs. I'll get into that on Wednesday nights. Today is about the kids and how we are supposed to act and react and be not just on the defense, but on the offense. You prepare them in advance. So they know what to do and what to be prepared for. So I'm going to go over a couple of things real quickly here. In scripture, we have words like demon, devil, Satan, Beelzebub, destroyer, Lucifer, serpent, dragon, messenger. Okay, all these things are really the name for the same thing, okay? They all come from the same thing. And again, I'll be getting into this more in spiritual warfare, but I want to sort of give you just a little bit of a background before we get into this, okay? And in the Greek and the Hebrew pardon me, I have sometimes I have a little bit of a memory issue here when I am trying to remember certain things and when I've been studying deeply. So anyway, but there are all sorts of translations, right, that are often used, like in different versions of scripture, right? And I understand that certain people like certain versions better than others. Some like the KJV, some like the New KJV, some like the NASB. They're all of these. I'm going to make a statement that is very controversial. Okay? It's very controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway, and you can go, and I'm just going to make a suggestion, all right? You can go online, and you can download, if you have a smartphone, most of you probably do, you can download a version of the Bible called the YouVersion, YouVersion, and if you download that, there are many versions of scripture on it. And I recommend this only because you can kind of go on and look to see the differences and the similarities in scripture. Okay? And I recommend that I don't happen to like the very, very easy version, right? The contemporary English Bible and that kind of thing. To me, those are dumbed down. They're more paraphrased. Okay? I do believe, however, that God takes care of Scripture for us. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. And he's the one, and Scripture tells us this, and he's the one that takes care of teaching us what Scripture means, you know, because he's the one that wrote it, right? The Holy Spirit wrote Scripture through men, but he wrote it. So if we go to him and ask him to explain it to us as we read it, then we're not going to have difficulty. We're not going to have a problem reading it and understanding it exactly as God meant it. So let's just understand that. If you're having difficulty with, let's just say, the KJV, with all the flowery language, don't feel bad about saying, I'm going to go to the NASB or the New KJV. You don't need flowery language. I'm sorry if you are a KJV-only person. That's not necessary. In fact, the NASB has been proven to be the very closest in exact translation because people have gone through and gone through and said, okay, let's pick the exact closest word-for-word translation. Now, you may not agree with that. That's okay if you don't. If you want to stick to the KJV or the new KJV, that's fine. I actually read out of the new KJV, but I will go to the YouVersion or to the YouVersion Bible, and I will look at the NASB because there are times when I see a word and I say, you know, and then I'll go to the Strong's reference and I'll realize that that actually is a better word. You know, don't be stuck. Don't be stuck in what a church's tradition is. Go to God. Pray about it. Because there are certain words that when you read it in the new KJV or the KJV and the NASB, and then you realize all the verses around it and you realize what that word is and you say, you know, that actually does make more sense here. It really does. So read it, pray about it, be like the Bereans in Acts, right? Read it in context and understand what it really means. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay? All right. So we have demons, evil spirits, unclean spirits, devils, fallen angels, right? These all are referring to the same person. Like in the Greek versus the Hebrew, we have the same word, Abaddon, or Apollyon, they both mean destroyer or destruction, right? They both mean that same thing, which refers to Satan, accuser, prosecutor, adversary. See? Beelzebub in the Greek, same as Baalzebub in the Hebrew. It's in a satanically inspired false god of Philistine Ekron, okay? They're all referring to the Satan, to the devil, right? Destroyer, angel of destruction, angel of death, executioner, who was employed as a destroyer by God and controlled by him. See, now this is a different one. This is not, we have to be very careful. That's not Satan. This is an angel of destruction that is employed by God in Numbers 16, 46 through 49. These are not, that's not a demon. This is why we're very careful. Lucifer. In Hebrew, it's Hallel or Halel. This reminds me of Hallel, and I'm going to do a further word study on this because I find it really interesting. It reminded me of that word Hallel in Islam. I want to look into that more. But that has to do with also day star, shining one, brilliant star. Okay, serpent in Genesis 3, dragon, angel or messenger, this messenger of light that Satan can disguise himself as, right? Okay. So let's just remember that we have all these things. Remember, Satan disguises himself. Disguises himself. Right? Okay. Remember, we can have faith. We can have faith and we can believe, but we must believe in Christ as our Lord and Savior, because the demons, devils, Satan, however you want to refer to them, James 2, 19 says, you believe there is one God, you do well, but even the demons believe and tremble. They fear him, but they don't love him. They don't worship him. They don't trust in him. And we are losing our children to these very demons that we go to church and we claim to know God, right? But remember, the demons also say that they know who he is. They know about him and tremble. But do you know about him and love him and worship him and believe on him as Savior? And what do you teach your children? So let's start with something that is extremely well known to most children. Because what we have here is, some of the things we're going to talk about today is magic, especially magic with the K on the end. Most of you don't even understand that that is something a little different, but still, we're talking about magic, wizards, demons, angels, hell, and all this kind of thing in children's gaming, TV, movies, cartoons, literature, all these things, all right? I'm going to start with Roblox. Some of you may or may not know what I'm talking about. If you're a grandparent, you may not be familiar with it, or you may. You may. I happen to play this game with my grandchildren. They talked to me about it one day, a few years ago, actually. And so I said, oh, okay, sure. And I had no idea what I was about to start seeing, okay? And within a couple of months, I really started to see what was possible, the things that these kids can begin to get into by going on to Roblox. Now, it's not all bad. I don't want you to think that this Roblox thing is just full of nothing but demonic activity, but it's very important that you get on and you look to see what your child is playing and doing, because there is a boatload of stuff on there that your child can get into. And so I think it's important that you know. So so I decided today that I was just going to go on and do a word search on Roblox, because this stuff is so predominant there that it's very easy for your kids to just pull it up. Because what happens is you pull this, you go into Roblox, and it's a very, very large community. It's a game application. And these kids go up, and what happens is that Roblox, after they've played a few things, it'll start showing things like, we think you might be interested in playing this. And some of your friends play this and this kind of thing, okay? So if they have a friend, quote unquote friend, okay, in other words, people that they just hang out with, because they can add friends on there, unless you as a parent or your children as their parents specifically put parent guidelines on or whatever, you know, set it up so that your children cannot add anyone unless you allow it. So they could have friends on there that are actually, let's say you have a child or a grandchild who's like 8 or 5 or 12. But they unknowingly add a friend who is 16, 14, 30, 50, or whatever. So you could have a 10-year-old daughter or granddaughter who has friended a 45-year-old male or a 27-year-old male? Pedophile. Or a daughter, a 12-year-old, 13-year-old daughter who has friended a 27-year-old or a 18-year-old lesbian. See, this could happen. And so they could be invited into any number of games, okay? And we have role-playing games. And they can have private chat, okay? And so this person can be privately chatting. Now, they're not allowed to say, like, love, or they're not allowed to say, like, you know, other certain words, but kids have found ways around this stuff, okay? They've found ways around these kind of things. And there's all kinds of stuff that they say and do and everything in here, you know, and I've seen, like, boys talk to my granddaughter, try to ask her to be their girlfriend and this kind of thing, see? So now on to the type of games. We're going to call them games, but they're not all games. They are quote-unquote role-playing games or all kinds of things. So here's one. Beelzebub Shrine. Shrine. So a place to worship. Beelzebub's demon. Beelzebub's estate. Beelzebub's hangout. Talk to Mammon. Obey me. Now, it's possible this person doesn't even know what mammon means, but, you know, which in scripture means money, but we also know that it stands for the opposite of God, right? It means money or wealth, but we also know that it means the opposite of God. And then it says in parentheses, obey me. The developer's name, in other words, the person that made that game, is called I Own Many Demons. I Own Many Demons. Then there are hundreds of games that call themselves certain demon games. There is one in there called The Church of Satan and has a goat with the big horns, you know, as the picture. There's one called Demon Soul Simulator. Are you getting disgusted yet? Here's one that should really disgust you. It's called the Satanic Church. The Satanic Church. It says that the purpose of this one is to educate, teach, and provide a community for those interested in Satanism, Luciferianism, and demoniatry. Sermons, rituals, and meditations, and mini-books are available. And it is run by the Infernal Church, that they are the ones that made this room. It's called a room, not a game. So it's like having like a Facebook room or something. People go in there and talk. There are 398 members. That doesn't mean that those are the only people that go there. They're just the people that have joined this, that have become actual, that have actually joined their group. So you can come into these rooms without actually joining. Joining means, yeah, you really like this, and so you've decided you want to become a member of their group. Now, there's one that's called the Satanic Temple, and it says, oh, this isn't really owned by them. It's just for fun. Just for fun. Okay. Then there's one called the Satan Church, which is a LaVey, you know, which is Anton LaVey. If you're familiar with that, you could look that up. It's Anton, A-N-T-O-N, LaVey, L-E-V-A-Y, I believe, or I'm, to be honest, I'm not real certain, but he's the one that made the Satanic Bible. And it, that one says it is dedicated to self, which is what we know Satanists. There are several Satan shrines, Satan temples, and Satan churches. There are several Lucifer rooms. Okay, I mean, listen, I'm talking about a lot. There are hundreds of these that are dedicated to Lucifer, Satan, the Satanic Church, the Luciferian Church, this kind of stuff. Hundreds. The main one called the Satanic Church, the one that says it is the Satanic Church. And that they are teaching these children about the Satanic Church, that one, that main one, that's not the only one. There are hundreds of these. Now, let's move on. LGBTQ plus whatever. Also hundreds. There are hangouts. Vibes, lesbian hangouts, bisexual, gay. There's one called the Hug Hangout, H-U-G. They can just come go in and hug each other. This is all under lesbian, LGBTQ, et cetera. There is a racist simulator, racist, which from what I can tell going into it, it is to convince kids that, you know, white is bad and, you know, that kind of thing, okay? There is the Tower of Gay. There is a gay simulator. Now, I have not gone into most of these. The reason I know about them is because I accidentally came upon one while I was with my granddaughter. We came into it and we were like, yeah, she's like, I don't understand, Gammy. What is this? That's what she calls me. She calls me, my grandkids call me Gammy. And so she was like, what? I'm like, nope, we're leaving this now and don't ever come back in here. And I had to explain to her then, not in detail. She's 10, right? My other grand, or not, she just turned 11. So I have an 11-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a almost 5-year-old grandchildren. And I have to explain to them, just look, when you see these rainbow flags and you see all this rainbow pride stuff, I said, leave. That just means leave. That automatically means leave. And I can't go into all the why and what fors because they're not ready for that. They don't even understand. They have no clue what sexuality is at this point. They're too young for it. They're not ready. Okay. So, and thank God they're not. And I'm going to get in further into why we don't want our kids into this in case you don't yet understand why we wouldn't, but I want you to be aware of this kind of thing. There are lesbian trans hangouts, gay pride SpongeBob. There's a gay pride SpongeBob. There is a gender changer simulator. So kids can go in there and change, you know, go through a trans, they can change their gender. Now, kids can go on here, like my grandson is 4, and he will go into a role play thing, and it's like, oh, I'm going to be the mom. I mean, he doesn't understand gender or sex or whatever. He has no clue, you know. To him, it's just, I'm going to be the mom or what. I mean, he doesn't get it. He's moving away from that as he's starting to understand mom and dad roles. But he just doesn't get it, you know. So, I mean, that's not a big deal. Here's a gay church. They have a gay church. LGBTQ Barbie. Secret gay furries. If you don't know what furries are, I suggest you Google that. It's another mess, leading children to believe they're allowed to just be any animal. So that's all now fine. You can identify as animals now. LGBTQ mental health organization. They're actually calling themselves this. This should be illegal on there. LGBTQ church, and then we get into astrology, crystals, zodiac, magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, which is witchcraft, Wicca. If you don't know what Wicca is, you should look that up, W-I-C-C-A. That is actually witches, satanic witchcraft, okay? They will say that they're not. They say that they're good witches, most of them. But believe me, they are not. It is satanic. And then in games, in actual games, they have things like hell, demons, Satan, all these things, and they are considered to be good. Like the kids think that all this stuff is, it's fine. They're just good demons. I had to have a talk with my granddaughter because she thought that there were good demons and good witches and good devils and all, she didn't understand. She still doesn't completely. It's because of all this stuff, she thinks that magic and witches and all this, she thinks that there's nothing wrong with it. And unfortunately, my daughter is not saved, and she doesn't really see anything wrong with this either. She thinks it's just make-believe and play and that it won't hurt her. So, now let's get into films and TV a little bit. So the Satanic Church, I want you to know what they promote, because you probably think of some of these things as no big deal. But I want you to hear that they're promoting some of this stuff. They promote films and shows and, you know, TV programs that promote self. You can actually go and, like, Google films that the Satanic Church promotes or TV shows that they promote or whatever. And you'd be surprised at some of this stuff. But what they promote is things that promote selfishness, greed, craftiness, realism, the superior man, what they call lesser magic, which is coming across as stupid to get what you want. Isn't that interesting? See, some of these things I really never thought of. Coming across as stupid in order to get what you want. And you'll have to go and look at that yourself, because I'm just giving you like a couple of words about what they talk about, but they go in depth, like All the King's Men. This is a 1949 movie. There are films from, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, and some of these now are pre-ratings. I was surprised to see that there are many movies from like 20s, 30s, 40s that are filthy. They're really horrible. Very horrible. Fantasia. Never knew that. I never really cared for that movie. I thought it was dumb and awful. But it turns out Fantasia promotes evolution. They're thrilled with this movie. Let's talk about a few others. Per Wikipedia. Now, this did not come, I want you to know, this did not come from any Christian site. This came from Wikipedia. These are movies that promote lesbianism, LGBT, because that's the first I saw was lesbian, but LGBTQ, etc., okay? Movies and TV shows, and I'm not going to read all these because it would take forever. I'm just going to give you a few so you can go check this out. DC animated movies, Suicide Squad, a lot of them. Suicide Squad, bisexual and lesbian. Batman, Bad Blood, Batwoman as a lesbian. Wonder Woman, lesbian. Justice League, Dark Apocalypse War, John Constantine and King Shark, both bisexual. 2022 Catwoman is bi and Batwoman is lesbian. How to Train Your Dragon. Gobber the Belch is gay. My Little Pony Equestria Girls. Curly Winds and Whiz Kid are gay. Sailor Moon. Four gay and lesbian characters. South Park. Big gay Al, Saddam Hussein, and Satan are all gay. Coraline. Gay and lesbian characters. Steven Universe. Lesbian. DC League of Super Pets. Lesbian. Trick or Treat, Scooby-Doo, Lesbian, Strange World, Ethan and Diazo, Gay, Clarence, Finding Dory, The Loud House, Doc McStuffins, Star and the Forces of Evil, Andy Mack. I'm not going to tell you all these things. You can go onto Wikipedia and look up. Just type in Wikipedia gay and lesbian characters in movies or something. In 2024, Zsa Zsa Zaturna versus, I don't know, it's some thing coming out, Amazonistas of Planet X, gay and trans. Arthur, The Owl House, Onward, Blue's Clues, Drag Queen RuPaul was on, Ridley Jones, Muppet Babies, Crossdress and Trans, all of these, Andy Mack, all of these, Lightyear, Wendell and Wild, Paranorman, My Dog Tulip, Rocco's Modern Life, The Mitchells versus the Machines, Cruella, Jazz, there's a Jazz Doll who is transgender, all of these, and more. Okay. Next, puberty blockers are now may be given to girls 8 to 13 and boys 10 to 15. Surgeries are now allowed at age 15 to 17. This is per the World Professional Association for Trans Health. This is what they've decided now. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. They claim that brain science says that they can decide at age 14, but the National Institute of Health says your brain doesn't finish developing and maturing until your mid to late 20s because your prefrontal cortex, that takes care of planning, prioritizing, and making good decisions, matures last. Now, how is it that if you're prefrontal cortex, which takes care of making good decisions, doesn't mature until your mid to late 20s. How can you make that decision when you are 14, 15, 16, 17 years old? Because these people are trying to destroy our children. And we are responsible, people. Scripture tells us that we are responsible. Our children cannot even drink, go to casinos, own a gun, adopt children, rent a hotel room, rent a car, run for Congress until they're 25, Senate until they're 30, or president until 35. The reasons given are safety, experience, and maturity. And yet they think that they can make a decision to change from being, to change their sex, from being a boy to a girl or a girl to a boy, that they're mature enough to make that decision. They want to take our children away from us. That is the reason. Because they know that we are going to fight and they want to take our children. So let's see what Scripture has to say. Let's go to Proverbs first. We're going to start off in Proverbs 22. We are responsible for these children. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's talk about that for a moment. When he is old, he will not depart from it. It doesn't say when he is a child. These children are not mature when they're children. It says train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. It doesn't say he's going to continue in that way all the time he's young, because children make stupid mistakes. They do foolish things. They do foolish things. I just remembered a Bible verse that I need to pull up here. can't believe I didn't think about this one earlier, because this one is going to prove is going to prove what I just said. Proverbs 22, 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, I am not a believer in over spanking. Okay, I don't believe in spanking a child in anger at all. That is absolutely wrong. We never spank a child in anger, and we do not, hurt our child. I mean, this kind of thing is just wrong. We're not supposed to take our anger out on children, okay? And so let's go, hold on, let me find this here. I know I have it right here. One moment. Here it is. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That word training actually means nurturing. Bring them up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. Okay, so using the rod or spanking your child does not mean spanking your child in anger. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't make them angry with you. You're not supposed to be beating children. Do not provoke them to wrath. We're supposed to love our children. Not provoke them to wrath. And it specifically is saying this to fathers. You notice that. It's specifically saying this to fathers because mothers generally are more nurturing. See, it's telling them, fathers, bring them up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. Love them. Don't scream at them. We're not supposed to yell at them, but we are supposed to bring them up in the Lord, right? We are supposed to love these children. Love them. All right. And what do we do if we love them? We bring them up in the Lord. We teach them his ways, right? So we have to be careful to make sure if they're getting on things like Roblox, if they're watching TV, watching movies, into books. Believe me, what about the comic books? What about Dungeons and Dragons games? All these things, you see, we're supposed to know what they're doing. We don't plop them down in front of a movie or a TV program or cartoons and then go off to do our own thing, not knowing what it is that they're watching. Okay, Isaiah 54. And we're going to verse 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Now, does that mean that you go and you take them over to church and just let whoever it is in church put them on the bus so they go to Sunday school so that you can stay home and have a relaxing day at home? That's not what that means. Remember, you're responsible for your kids. You better know what that church is teaching them. You better know what that church is teaching them. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. You're supposed to know what your children are learning, and you should be their primary teacher. What are they learning at school? What does your teacher believe, and what does she teach them? How long has it been since you've been in their school? How long has it been since you as a parent went in and just sat in the classroom? Do you know what's up on the walls? What kind of LGBTQ nonsense is up there? What is your teacher teaching them? Because I know. I have had to tell my grandkids, hey, no. Because they're teaching them that, like, Washington was a horrible, awful, evil person. George Washington. Yep. Horrible, evil person. One of the fathers of our country. What are they teaching your kids? You need to know. You need to know. You need to question your children daily. Who did you learn about in school today? What did you learn about in history? What did your teacher tell you about that person? What do you know about Abraham Lincoln? What do you know about George Washington? What do you know about these people? What does your teacher tell you? Find out. Don't just put up with the, oh, nothing. I don't know. We didn't really learn anything. It's up to you. Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver. Where are you sending your children out? They are like arrows in your hand, and you are responsible for pointing them out to where they should go and sending them out into the world properly prepared. Properly prepared. They are our heritage. And we need to make sure that we are raising them up well. Mark 10, starting in verse 13. Then they brought young children to him, to Christ, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will, by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands on them and blessed them. Are we blessing our children? Are we putting our hands on them and blessing them? We need to be blessing our children every single day before we send them out into the world. Put your hands on them and bless them. Put your hands on your children and bless them. Pray over them. You're sending your kids out into the world naked without the covering of God daily. Some of you that are living may think that you baptized your child or something when they were babies and that is some sort of covering over them. That does not cover your child. You need to be praying over them daily. You need to be teaching them scripture daily. You need to teach them what it really means to know Christ. Ephesians 6:4. Remember, we just read that. This is so important. But we're going to start in 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We need to teach our children obedience. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, you may have a bad relationship with your parents. I'm not telling you that you have to have a perfect relationship. You may have parents that don't serve the Lord. Maybe you came to know Christ when you were older. Maybe you have a really bad situation, like really bad. You know, it might have been abusive. You can honor them and love them without liking them. In other words, without approving of their life. But you should still honor them as parents. You may not be able to let your children around them without you being there, depending on the situation. Maybe they can only be there on very special occasions, right? I don't know your situation. Maybe you have to set up situations where it's like your parents have to know they can't be around them until there are some huge changes made. I don't know. Only you know that. But you can still honor them, maybe by not talking, you know, saying bad things about them in front of your kids. Maybe that's how you honor them. Or just not talking badly about them in general. Right? Maybe that's how you honor them. Maybe you honor them by praying for their salvation. Right? I mean, I had an abusive childhood. Very, very bad. Even an abusive adulthood. But my father eventually came to know Christ a year before he passed. So, you know, that was a great way of honoring him. He was in, he was a 33rd degree Mason. And when that happened, he came to realize, it told me that he was going to hell. And again, praise God, he ended up becoming saved. He was born again. So, see, we don't know. We don't know what might happen because we honor them enough to pray for them, love them as our parents to see them get saved, right? Okay. Goodness gracious, we may not get through all this scripture that I have, but we're going to work on it. Okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. And I may skip some of these verses, may come back to them later, we'll see. But just because I want, there's other things I want to get to. All right. Deuteronomy 6. You know, I'm going to start in verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Teach them diligently to your children. You. It doesn't say give them to someone else to teach that to them. So it doesn't say take them to Sunday school for them to learn that. It doesn't say that the public schools are responsible for teaching that. No, you are responsible for teaching that to your children. These words which I command you shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently, diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house. And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, you're supposed to spend time with them, teaching them about God. It's up to you. It is your responsibility. It is our responsibility, right? As grandparents as well, we are to teach our children about God diligently, constantly. Proverbs 29:17. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. And in All right. Let's see. Verse 15 in that same chapter, Proverbs 29. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Not just the rod, reproof. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Left to himself. How many of these children do we leave to themselves? Here you go. Here's your tablet. Here's a TV. Here's whatever. Go play on your own. You're bothering me, kiddo. I don't have time for you. Right? Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do? I mean, we have become lazy parents. Lazy parents. Colossians 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, lest they become discouraged. Discouraged. You know, we have a nation full of depressed children. No wonder they're turning to gay and trans kids and adults who are saying, oh, come over here. We're gonna coddle you and hug you and make you feel better. And look at how happy we're gonna make you feel with all this stuff. Don't discourage your children. Love them. Love them. Don't give them a reason to go to someone else. You hear me? Don't give them a reason to go to someone else for love. Stop that. Give your children. Do you know that I know two families? I know two families who are extremely, highly conservative. I mean, their children were not allowed to go do anything. They couldn't go anywhere. They were the two most conservative, quote-unquote, Christian families I know. And I say, quote-unquote, Christian, because they were not following faith in God. They were following legalism. Thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. And I'm telling you this, because if that's you, if you are not letting the Holy Spirit guide you, but are trying to follow some church rules and regulations, these are the two most conservative families I knew. Now, we broke off from them as our kids got a little older, because they were just too legalist. I have another one that I know. Let me just add this one. So the three of the most legalist families I know. One has, they were like into courtship only, no dating. They were into, and they homeschooled. I homeschooled my children, but they were into very, very traditional homeschooling. And I'm not saying there's anything bad in some of these things per se, but when you have your children tied to your apron strings so tightly that they can't even breathe, that you are provoking them to anger, that the Holy Spirit can't even guide them at all, then this can be an issue, okay? And this is what happens. At least one is now a lesbian, and she divorced and a lesbian. Another one is divorced. Another one, and because she is this one, the first one I talked to, her parents will not friend her. Okay, they won't allow anyone to know that they have her as a daughter. They will promote her business, but you know, or her mother will. Her mother will talk about her business. And this woman is very well known. She's an internationally known photographer and pianist, highly talented, but, you know, her family doesn't really have much to do with her. She's not just a lesbian, she's married to a woman. And then there's the other family who has nothing to do with one of their daughters, nothing to do with their adopted daughter. I mean, this just goes on and on. Another one who has a son who claims to still be a Christian, but he is not. He believes in Chrislam. Just all this stuff. So you understand what I'm saying here is that we are to not be on this legalist side either. We can't just let our kids go and do whatever, but we can't hold those strings so tight that we strangle them. We must understand that it is by faith, not by legalism, not by works. Okay? All right. And not allow them to get into the wrong things, but they must understand why. We must understand why. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 47. See, I used to believe that you're supposed to stay away from this stuff just because my church has said so. Now I understand it because the Holy Spirit is living in me. I just did it to follow rules. That's not why we do it. We have to teach our children that, yes, we don't do this, but it's because God says so, but also because, you know, we are supposed to have God living in us, and he's the one that's supposed to believe, you know, to show us this. Okay, so Isaiah 47, verse 13. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators, they're the people that looked at the moon and all this, right? Stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before. Thus shall they be to you with whom you have labored, your merchants from your youth. They shall wander each one to his quarter. No one shall save you. Right? In other words, these demonologists, these astrologers, these people who study witchcraft, these magicians, all these people who don't follow after God. Verse 12, I could have started there. Stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries. See, all these people, they're not going to save you. They're not going to help you. They're not this all demonology. It all comes from Lucifer. It all comes from people who want to be like God. That's what it comes right down to, see? That's what it comes down to. They are the people who actually want to be the same as like how Satan wanted to be. They are searching everything except for God for answers. And that is really the whole point of this, right? They search everything but God. They search witchcraft, Wicca, Ouija boards, seances, astrology. They search for answers in the stars. They want to find everything in some way except for through God. God just can't be the answer for them because they think that they are better than God. That is the whole point to this, you see. They believe that they are better than God. And once you get to that point where you believe that you are better than God, that's when you begin moving towards Satan and his whole self thing like we were talking about earlier, right? That's what we were talking about earlier. Self. And wanting everything to be our way. Everything to be done through pride. Everything to be done our way instead of God's way. And when we begin to do things that way, well, then we have, that's when we begin saying, well, we don't need him. We don't need God anymore because we can turn to the stars. We can turn to mediums and witches and this kind of thing. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Oh, for these nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. We are to steer clear of all of this. All of it. We are to have nothing to do with any of the sort. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 15, 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. We are not to be mixed up in anything that rejects God's word and turns to Satan's word. And that is exactly what all that is doing. It is saying, we don't believe you. We believe that we can follow Satan, and he is the one that will be telling us how things are going to be in the future, how things are going to be now. He is the one that will tell us. We believe him instead of believing God. Let's go to 2 Kings 21, verse 6. Also, he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And I'm pretty sure this pass through the fire is talking about walking through fire, you know, over stones of fire, that kind of thing. Okay. Zechariah. Let me go to Zechariah here. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 2. For the idols speak delusion, the diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wend their way like sheep. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd. There's no shepherd. And this is exactly what we do. When we begin to follow these kind of things, we lose our shepherd. We don't have one. We walk away from that shepherd. All right. Let's go. Hold on here. I just happened to see something, and I need to make a note of it. Pardon me. But when I see something like this, I need to mark it down immediately. For later study. All right. Let's go to First Chronicles. Let's go to First Chronicles. And we're gonna go to 10:13. But we may finish just a little bit early today. Let's see right now. 1 Chronicles 10:13. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. He died for his unfaithfulness because he didn't keep the word of the Lord, and he consulted a medium for guidance. You hear that? He died early. He died early. But he didn't inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. God said, no. If you are going to ignore me, if you're going to turn away from me, then you are finished. You are finished. Think about that. Think about the possibility that God will allow your life to end early because of your disobedience and your turning to witchcraft, astrology, all those things. Think about it. 2 Chronicles 33:6. Also, he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. See, these things, these kind of things are not just like, oh, you know, like a lot of people think it's just for fun and sport and like, oh, I could be able to do that. No, these people meditate and turn themselves over to demons in order to be able to pass through that fire. He practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft and sorcery, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. You see, this was Manasseh, and he was 12 years old when he became king. This, he raised altars for Baals, made wooden images, and worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. We're talking about hosts. We're talking about false gods. We're talking about fallen angels. We're talking about all these things that he did. This is Manasseh. So, I mean, we could spend a lot of time talking about what he did, but he worshiped foreign gods, and that's what, which are false gods, they're fake, they are based upon the fallen angels, okay, but that's what he did, and that's what these people are doing when they practice witchcraft, when they cast spells, sorcery, mediums, spiritists, Ouija boards, seances. That's what this is. That's what this is. And we make a big joke out of it and act like it's no big deal. We are allowing our children to get into this. There is something called deliverance ministry, and I rarely ever, I could probably count it on a few fingers. There's something called deliverance ministry, and I would recommend it if you have generational curses in your family. These are real, folks. These are real, and I recommend it. Okay, I'm not going to go any further into that. I would just say that if you don't believe in demons, you don't believe that these things can, listen, demons cannot possess a born-again believer, but they can oppress a born-again believer. They can oppress you. Okay? They can bug you, bother you, cause you problems. Right? So be aware. They can. Let's go to Revelation 18. For those of you who are going, okay, that's not, you're talking about a lot of Old Testament stuff, but I haven't heard you talk about any of this in the New Testament. Yeah, I'm heading there. Okay. And I did mention a few, right? Mark, Matthew, Ephesians, Galatians. Oh, I haven't got to Galatians yet. Okay, we're getting there. Revelation 18, verse 23. The sound of harpists, musicians, that's 22. And the light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. Your sorcery. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Sorcerers. Galatians. You say you don't think that that's a big deal these days, right? Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery. We talked about that in the Old Testament, didn't we? Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. Selfish. That's Satanism. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sorcery, right? All these things. All right. Let's go to Acts 19. We're going to talk about all these that the New Testament brings up to. Acts 19, starting in verse 17. We're going to start in verse 16. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. Let me see if I want to start back a little further. No, this is fine. Overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Magic. Sorcery, evil spirits. Remember I talked about deliverance a minute ago? Yes. If you're doing some of these things and you just feel like it's okay or you can't seem to get away from it, you may need some deliverance. Maybe you do, especially if you think there's nothing wrong with it. Acts 8. Starting in verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. He just thought he was someone great, didn't he? To whom they all gave heed. From the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorcery for a long time. See? But when they believed Philip as he preached things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself, right, the man who practiced sorcery, also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Now, here's what happened. This Simon, who used to be the sorcerer, he believed, but see, he didn't completely get it all yet. And this happens to some of us, right? We're in this evil stuff. Then we get saved and we believe, but we don't have the Holy Spirit. Even though the Holy Spirit resides in us, we may still have some leftovers, right? Because remember, the Holy Spirit is working on us. We're a progressive work. We're a work in progress, right? So when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But it's not just that they receive the Holy Spirit. What happens is he's laying on hands, he's praying for them, praying with them, right? But Peter said to him, your money perished with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness and pray if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. See, what happened is that, then he asked and he said, listen, that's not what I want. I really want the true God. I really want the Holy Spirit living within me. So see, he had to have more understanding. He had to have the Holy Spirit taking up those other places that he hadn't allowed them into yet, right? Sometimes this happens to us, that we're like, yeah, we get it, and we still have not allowed the Holy Spirit to take over some parts of our heart yet, some parts of our lives. We're not willing to give up completely. Acts 16, verses 16 to 18. Now, it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, see, she's got this Spirit in her. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Now, see, here's the problem. She'll go around and following anyone because she's still making her money. See, she's still making money off of it. Sometimes Satan will work through other people too. Just because they're working through somebody else and proclaiming, oh, here, look at what this, they're still working for money. They're going to turn their back on you sooner or later. You have to have discernment. That's what Paul had. He knew who she was. Don't assume that just because they're pointing the way to Christ today, they're going to be doing the same thing tomorrow. Know who they are. Spirits are evil spirits, no matter what they're showing you towards today. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Looks like the Holy Spirit has me right on time today, as always. He's so good, isn't he? He's just good, no matter what. All right, 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to go to chapter 2 and verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all powers, signs, and wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, even Satan can make you believe things if you don't have discernment. We must understand. We must look at who it is that is practicing such things. We must look at everything that they say, everything that they preach, not just some of it, because they can deceive us. Ephesians 5, verses 11. Ephesians 5, verses 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Doesn't matter if they do a few good things. If they are the works of darkness, witchcraft, Ouija board, seances, astrology, all that stuff, avoid them. Stay away from them. Have no fellowship with them. None. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. They are going to come after you hook, line, and sinker as soon as they know who you are. As soon as they know that you are working against them, as soon as they know, yeah, I don't mess with astrology. I don't mess with all that stuff. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I had a friend that I tried giving the gospel to for several years, and she would say, oh, yeah, I know God. But she would always turn to astrology and try talking to me about that stuff. Unfortunately, we don't have any more friendship. She's moved out of the state and moved out of town, you know, whatever. But, you know, sometimes God takes people out of your life because he knows that it's time to just the sand off your feet, right? And you have to let that go. When he does that, let that go, because it's not for you. Heavenly Father, remind us daily that it is up to us to keep these unfruitful works of darkness out of the lives of our children. It is our responsibility. We must take care of our children and lead them into your marvelous light. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And Carl will be back next week, folks. We will talk to you then.
Drink water.
Amen.